Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 11. I'm going to come down and shake your hand, Brother Byron. It's good to see you tonight. Glad you're here.
Yes, sir.
We're in the tribulation period. Well, we're not tonight, but in Revelation chapter 11, the tribulation period is hot. A lot of things befalling. We're going to look at just a few verses this evening and, again, try to give you a picture from where we are in the book. Revelation chapter 11, let's start at verse 14. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks, Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were repentant? No, angry. The nations were seeking God's salvation? No, angry. The nations were seeking God's forgiveness? No, angry. The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening. We'd have a good grasp, good understanding of what is unfolding. You have revealed to us your revelation through the Apostle John at the time of the first century, studied down through the centuries, and tonight we study the sacred text as it was given to John, knowing that this was not given to us to satisfy our curiosity, but to motivate us to be passionate, to testify, to be lights, soul winners, testifying to others of the wrath that is to come, warning them to flee the wrath that is to come. May we be so motivated tonight. Well, thank you for what you do. In Christ's name, amen. Just a reminder, seven seals. So let's seven seals. Seventh seal is the seven trumpets. Seven trumpets, the seventh trumpet are the seven vials, and we'll get into those soon. But if you will picture tonight, try to give you a visual grasp, this banister is going to represent the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation. John is up in heaven, and there was a seven-sealed book. And the angel gave pronouncement in heaven and in earth and under the earth, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man was found, not in heaven, not on earth, neither under the earth, that was able to open the seals, open the book, and loose the seals thereof. And I, John, wept. And the angel said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals, seven seals. The seven seals are being loosed throughout 6-7. This banister is the end of the tribulation period. The seventh seal is opened. In that seventh seal are the seven trumpets, which very quickly rain out. And then in the seventh trumpet are the seventh vial, which very quickly lays out. And I do this because if you don't understand that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 end of the tribulation period, then you will look at this portion of chapter 11, verse 15, and you will say, this is a bit premature. Why? Because we are in the seventh trumpet, and there are yet seven vials to go. So if you look at these as three different sets of judgments, then you're going to look at Revelation like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trumpets. And it'll appear like we got a long ways to go and we haven't even touched the vials yet. But if you'll understand that we have six seals that take us to here and then 14 judgment, 14 sound are going to accelerate us into the millennial reign of Christ, then chapter 11, verse 15 is not premature at all, because we're coming right down here to the end. We're about to unleash the seven vials, which is going to take us right into the millennial reign of Christ. Again, a misunderstanding of that is going to, again, look at this and say, this seems a little, again, premature, but it is not premature at all. Last week, we considered the two witnesses of Revelation. Could be resurrected prophets. People debate that. The truth is, God does not name them. And it very well could be two prophets that are saved during Israel, Jewish men, that are saved during the tribulation period, just after the rapture gets saved, gets announced. Will people be saved during tribulation period? Absolutely, absolutely. Just not somebody who's heard a clear presentation of Christ. And I mention that again because I received correspondence today from a man who was here a while ago. And his parents came to visit him while he was here. And they are, they're members of a good church. They live a long ways away from here. But they are interested in the series that we're doing. And so they're listening to the messages every week. And I would say that they're in a good church. Good church preaches the gospel, preaches the whole counsel of God. But here's two people, and we talk about this in teachers' meeting, sitting in the pews of a good church. And this is what mom and dad said to their son. We had no idea that somebody who had heard the gospel message could not be saved during tribulation period. They had no idea that even existed. Now, what's interesting is the son knew, but mom and dad didn't know. Just kind of interesting. So I bring that up again so that you can process that, because there are a lot of people in the world that say, I don't believe this Bible stuff, but I'm going to wait till the tribulation period to get saved. And that is not going to happen. Now, Thessalonians drives that point home very well. The great earthquake, last week we looked at that, 1/10 of Jerusalem falls, 7,000 men are killed, and the judged still refuse to repent. They are angry at God. Last week we talked about the cameras rolling. 20 years ago, I'll go back to when I was a kid. I remember sitting in the church service where my dad was preaching from the book of Revelation, and him saying, and we're talking, I was 10 years of age, 1971. Ten-year-old sitting there listening to this, 1971, we had a black and white TV that somebody threw away. The black and white TV was this big, and it had to be that big to get all the tubes in. We had remote control. Well, we didn't, but a guy in the church, he had remote control. I thought it was the neatest thing. He had a bamboo pole that was 10 feet long that had notched the end, and he would pick, from his easy chair, he'd pick that bamboo pole up and stick it over the knob and turn the channel. And I remember sitting there going, wow. That was big stuff. Not today, it's not. But back then, when Dad said, every eye is going to see this all across the world, I thought, how is that even possible? 1971. Here we are, 2025. Is that possible? Everybody's got a cell phone. Do people help the people that are in the car accident that just suffered a heart attack? No. They take video of them so they can post it. They're taking video of the two dead witnesses lying in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days, their bodies rotting and smelling the stench of it. I can hear them talking about it, making light of it, laughing at them, and all of a sudden the bodies move. The people scream. The two witnesses are resurrected, much like Acts chapter 1. Jesus Christ was ascended up into heaven. The men of Galilee. It wasn't like poof and he was gone. It was like, and they watched him go up. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus was taken from you, so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And here are these two witnesses. All of a sudden they stand up and start to ascend, and people go, oh, whoa! Take video all the way up, broadcast worldwide, everybody sees it. You can go to the poor. This amazed me when I traveled in Mexico several years ago. We were picking up children for Sunday morning on the bus, and there were the houses were, I don't know, maybe 8 by 8, 64 square feet, and there was no front door. There was a curtain and a rod. The buildings themselves were pretty well constructed. They were made out of a block. And so they were blocked. They were mortared together. The building weren't coming down. They had a pitched roof on them. But there was no front door. But they had electricity. And they had television. I can still remember watching the Aaron Rent furniture truck or whatever it was pull up to this little thing. And what in the world? And they'd get down. They'd unload a TV and they'd take it to one of these 8 by 8 little shacks with a little shower curtain for a front door, and the people would pull the curtain away. They'd take the TV in, and the people were really excited. Now, 20 years ago, everybody's going to see it. Yeah, people are going to see it worldwide. It's going to be broadcast. Grand announcement, verse 15. The seventh angel sounded, the great voices in heaven. Now, this is different than the other. We saw before there was a single voice. Now there are great voices. The first time it's plural. All earthly rule is going to pass into God's hand. Again, if you don't understand, we're way out here towards the end of the tribulation period. And you think this is premature. This is not premature. Everything is about to pass into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ as we enter into a thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. Keep your finger here in Revelation chapter 11. Go back with me to the book of Daniel, Old Testament. Daniel chapter 2. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel chapter 2. We're going to look at several passages in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of the king shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. What is that? Talking about the millennial reign of Christ. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. It shall stand forever. Forever. The earth. Well, let's look at this one. Oh, look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peep, be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom, what is that? Millennial kingdom. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, And his generation is from his dominion is from generation to generation. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 26. Daniel chapter 6, verse. Let's start at verse 25, because that's a paragraph. Then King Darius wrote unto all peoples, nations, and languages that dwelt on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. The book of Daniel, chapter 7. Book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 14. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting kingdom which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Preacher, last year you had us read Revelation chapter 20. What's that all about? Well, let's go Revelation chapter 20. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. But God has not given up his kingdom. We're in the end of the millennial reign, so we've got the end of the tribulation period, which brings us into the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. After that is Revelation chapter 20. And we'll get to this. But Satan is not taking over the world again. That's a little season, a little short period of time that he is loosed. Give mankind one last opportunity to embrace Christ. They do not. And then, verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Say, where do you get beheading in the tribulation period? Right there. Beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast. That clearly puts that passage in the tribulation 7 years. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished, the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Now, verse 7, when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. For what purpose? Gather them together to battle. It's the only purpose. Not take over the earth, not world dominion, not to obliterate the reign of Jesus Christ. He is still reigning, but Satan has one last, if you will say, one last opportunity, one last hurrah. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, encompass the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And at that moment, it's just difficult for me to read that. I have goosebumps right now. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. How fast is that? How long is his reign? Just about that fast. Just about that long. So don't think that is a misnomer that Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and he's going to give that back over to Satan because of Revelation chapter 20. That's just a very brief, again, if you will, last invitation to the world to come to Christ, and the world does not. Back in chapter 11, verse 15, that little season, the world will not be under the control of Satan. They will be masked to battle, the one last battle. Verse 15, at this announcement, at this point, breakneck speed, running at breakneck speed to the end of the 7 years of tribulation period, and the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, seeing that, knowing it is not premature, the 24 elders fall down and worship. They fell on their faces and worshiped God. Saying, verse 17, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty. And they testify to his existence, which art in the past and which was before that and art to come in the future. And God is the pre-existing, the always existing, never created. He is. The Lord is. Now we see signs in the world today. So just for fun, this afternoon I didn't read the articles. I just looked at the headlines. That's all I did. I didn't look at a single one of these articles. Putin eyes bigger picture, bigger piece of Ukraine than Trump offered. That was in the news today. NATO ally airstrikes on Houthis. That was in the news today. This is a news headline. Putin strikes Ukraine and then offers 3-day ceasefire. I think that might actually be old news. One of my personal favorites in the news today, Muriel Bowser, who's been in the news for the last couple of weeks saying, you're taking all my money away, we're broke, we're going to have to cut all kinds of money, is cutting a deal for a playground for millionaires over in D.C. To the tune of $1 billion. Playground for millionaires? Yeah, the NFL, right? Isn't that what they are? A bunch of millionaires? Isn't that what they do on the field? They play a game called football. Yeah, thank you very much. A playground for millionaires? It's going to be $1 billion. I thought you were short. Anyway, that's I probably shouldn't have stopped there, but it just annoys me when the government says we're out of money and then says, hey, we're going to spend a cool billion. But what is that? The world is imploding before our very eyes. You say, Pastor, are these signs that God is going to come back? Listen, we don't need a sign. To the unbelieving, they're giving signs. We don't need a sign. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Christ said to his disciples, your disciple of Christ, in Acts chapter 1. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's for us to be faithful witnesses of God's coming back. So people say to you, Lord, come back. I'm going to make a prediction. Dum, 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 dum. Don't. What should it do? It should cause you to go soul winning. Tell somebody about Christ. Point them to Jesus Christ. What is going to be the result of the nations? Verse 18, they are going to be angry. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 13 describes the nations as a seething pot boiling and ready to boil over. Right? Ladies, do you know that sound? You're in the kitchen. Better yet, your husband is in the kitchen and you're in the other room and the pot is boiling. You know, the lid's going and stuff is floating over on the stove and messing up the stove. And your husband is sitting there ignoring it. And you yell from the other room, is the pot boiling? Jeremiah says, oh yeah, it's boiling. It's a seething pot. What is that described? It's the nations about to spill over. The Middle East has been and is today and will be here then a seething pot ready to boil over. Ready. The Middle East today, they're ready to spill blood. They do not care if it's yours. I shared with this just recently. Mrs. Bishop's mom was in Egypt just before the Egypt uprising, the Arab Spring, a number of years ago. And when she got back 2 weeks later, people were getting killed. There were riots, all kinds of things. So I called her on the phone and I said, hey, Mom. She said, yeah. I said, while you were over in Egypt, did you ever feel threatened? I mean, did you see any signs that this was going to spill over? Did you feel unsafe? And this is what she said. Oh, no. There was always a guy with an AK-47 on our tour bus. That should have been a sign right there. But no, it was not. It was not. What is there? What is lacking here? No repentance. No seeking God's forgiveness.
So again, that person that says, I'm going to wait till I see the signs, they've seen the signs, they've experienced tribulation, but there is no repentance. They are angry, angrier and angrier. It helps to me and immediately brings up Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords away from us. The psalmist wrote that. Rebels. Rebels against God, rebels against God's word, rebels against God's salvation. When you're in Sunday school or you're in the workplace or you're at the door and you're telling somebody about Christ and they rail against you, don't take it personally. They are not railing against you. They are railing against God himself. And no amount of tribulation judgment is going to bring them to their knees because they are a rebel at heart. Man's wrath. Wicked. God's wrath. Holy. Justified. Unmistakable contrast between the two. Is the world at war today? So this is kind of interesting. Wars currently going on right now. And so here's the list. This is the big list. Now, there are other wars besides these. But there's a Russian-Ukrainian war. They are estimating 49,000 are dead this year. Israel-Palestinian war, 23,000 dead right now. Myanmar, civil war, 13,000 dead so far this year. Sudan, civil war, 10,000 dead. Ethiopia, civil war, 8,000 dead. Nigeria, terrorist vying for control, 7,000 dead. Burkina Faso, terrorism, 6,000 dead. The Mexico drug war, 6,000 dead this year. Syria, civil war, 4,500 dead. I should have proofread this. I don't know what country this is. It says mail, but I don't think that's right. The U.S. Postal Service has 3,100 dead. That's not right. Congo, terrorism, 3,000 dead. And Russia is claiming they've only lost 3,000 soldiers this year. What is that? That's just a lot of people dead. Is the world at peace? The world is not at peace. Why? Because there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is none. Turn to chapter 16. Looking at time here. Chapter 16, verse 1. We'll get there soon. Hopefully before the rapture, but if the rapture wants to take place tonight, I am absolutely okay with that. Chapter 16, verse 1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple say to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. In between that, another parenthetical section. Important events, again, unfolding. We're out here, the seventh, seal has been opened, which gives us seven trumpets, and then the seventh trumpet is opened, which gives us seven seals, which is running at breakneck speed to the end of the 7 years. This is only 7 years of tribulation period, that all of this is unfolding, hastening to the end, hastening to the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. These events that we're studying right down to here precede the second coming of Jesus Christ. Again, don't confuse terms. Beginning of the tribulation is the rapture. We meet the Lord in the air. But at the end of the 7 years is the second coming of Jesus Christ. When the Lord physically plants his feet on the Mount of Olives, it is rent in twain. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. Time for what? not physical time, but time to receive the gospel message, time to trust Christ, time to embrace God's salvation, and that time will be no more. This should cause these events, as God has revealed to us what is going to fall out in the future. Imagine. Listen, this gal over here on Telegraph Road that's got a sign out that says, come have your fortune told. And she had no idea. But we absolutely do. It should not cause us to move to prediction. It should cause us to move to proclamation. And so, that's what everybody gets caught up. I'm going to make a prediction. Jesus is coming back. I've figured out the math. No. But proclamation. Jesus Christ is coming back. I do not know the day. You do not know the day. You best be ready, because I have just given you a gospel message. And if you reject Christ today, when this day sounds and the trumpet blows and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air, you will not receive Christ. To make proclamation. Tonight we are privileged to know and to study the last days of earth, the last days of world government. We will study the millennial reign of Christ, where Jesus Christ, after His second coming, launches His thousand-year reign that will never be relinquished. We're privileged to know that. Rule with a rod of iron. Drug traffic will stop. Abortion will cease. Divorce courts will be closed. The Supreme Court of the United States will not exist. Jesus Christ will reign. There will be no appeal. There will be no stays. Wars will cease. Peace and harmony will be the norm. Libraries will be safe. The sex traffickers will be out of business. The public school systems will teach godliness and holiness and creation, because they'll be under the rule of God Himself. Jesus Christ will rule and reign. And what is the end of a thousand year of a rule and reign of Christ and holiness and godliness? That's Revelation chapter 20. Satan will be loosed for a little season. He'll go up on the breadth of the earth. He'll amass a nation without number that will not have God to rule and reign over them. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be motivated to tell others, warn others to flee the wrath to come. May we, again, not just file this away as interesting tidbits of Bible information, but may it motivate us to warn others. I have to ask, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're here this evening, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You reject Christ now, you will experience these events, and you will not trust Christ. You will not. I'll be glad to show you the scriptures. But tonight, God is speaking to your heart. You're not saved, and you need to be saved, and you know it. And say, preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for a moment. Let me pray for you. And Father, with that, I pray that you'd help us to be light shining of the truth of your word, and the certainty of the lake of fire, and the promise of your salvation, everlasting, eternal life. And we'll thank you for those who come to you and serve you and love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you have a prayer request card, send that to the aisle. If you did not get a, we have a prayer sheet for the month of